Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Holy smokes, what a ball game! It was easily one of the greatest games in Royals history and maybe the most exciting. We'll talk about it and look ahead to the matchup with the big bad Los Angeles Angels in about 30 seconds. Later on this hour, the deadly consequences of texting and driving. But first, the game that will live in a lot of hearts for a very long time. Joining us to talk about it and the Royals is KCUR's Greg Eklund. And Greg, welcome, and get much sleep last night, Greg?
No, not much at all, but that's okay.
Well, how cool was that, Greg?
That was unbelievable. As you stated, it at the top, Steve. It was just one of those games that will go down in the annals as one of the greatest.
I mean, was it the most exciting game in Royals history, or do you have to give that to Game 7 in 85, or where are we here?
Well, Game 7 was the one-sided game.
Yes, of course.
Game 6 was the game that turned around that whole World Series, and more was on the line at that point. So I still have to rate Game 6 ahead of it, but... this one was right up there with it.
Now, be honest with me, Greg. When the Royals were down, you know, what was it, 7-3 at one point?
Yeah.
Were you losing a little hope?
I was losing a lot of hope. With John Lester on the mound and a 7-3 lead, I thought it was curtains for the Royals. I really gave them no chance, and that's one of the amazing things about this team is the resiliency that it shows even when it's down, and they came up with the 3 runs in the 8th and the tying run in the 9th, and it was just an unlikely scenario with their best pitcher and their best closer, an all-star closer, trying to get the last out in the ninth.
Now, I've got to be honest with you. I was giving up hope, too, but I'll tell you, my 16-year-old who was watching the game next to me, he never gave up hope. He thought we had it the whole way. It was just really a treasure to watch his enthusiasm for what was going on there. You know, let's be honest about something else, too, Greg Eklund. I mean, manager Ned Yost would have been roasted within an inch of his life had the Royals lost that game after removing our pitcher James Big Game Shields in the sixth inning. What on earth was he doing?
Well, I was envisioning a headline any day now, Yost is toast, because I was turning to the fellow next to me, who is a very knowledgeable baseball guy here in Kansas City, and I was stating this before the 3-run homer was hit. Yordano Ventura had thrown 73 pitches on Sunday. When I saw him warming up in the bullpen, I thought maybe he's just working on the side. I had no idea that Ned Yost was intending to insert him into the ball game. And James Shields has gone deep so many times and has had has worked out of situations in the middle innings to get himself into a late inning ball game time after time this season. That I thought it was flabbergasting to me that he was removed at that point and for the guy he was removed for.
You know, absolutely. I don't know baseball like you do, but I could not believe what I was seeing because I know that James Shields has a history of getting stronger as these ball games roll along. And I thought Ned Yost today, he's the luckiest man in Kansas City. You know, look ahead for us, if you would, Greg, to the Los Angeles Angels, because this is one formidable baseball team.
Yep, one of those teams that money could buy because they've got the high salaries on that team with Albert Pujols and a lot of other high-salaried players. And so they're producing what they're expected to do given the salary base that they have. They're a very good team. But on paper, there have been teams that have been better than the Royals, but because of the extra ingredient that this team has that you can't tangibly describe, you know, you can't count them out of any ball game this year.
So the Royals have to get on an airplane, I assume, today, Greg, and fly west?
Yes. Yeah, they're heading out there today. I'm assuming that they'll maybe have a light workout in Anaheim late this afternoon, considering they're 2 hours behind us, and then the game will be played tomorrow night.
Okay. And we match up how, Greg? I mean, who will be our pitcher tomorrow night? How do you see things shaking out?
As of the time that I left the ballpark last night, they still had not named a starter. They may have by now. I have not heard that, but when I left the ballpark last night, a starter had had not been named today. It was interesting to note that the Royals had used just about everybody on their roster. Jeremy Guthrie, normally a starter, was the next one in line working in the bullpen, and if that game had gone another extra inning, Jeremy Guthrie would have come out of the bullpen in that game last night.
Man. And they didn't have many pitchers left at that point. It was really becoming a battle of attrition, wasn't it?
It was, because for the wild card games, you know, the rosters can be retooled and reset for the best of five series. But for the one game only wild card playoff game, the 25-man roster was more packed with reserve position players than pitchers. And little did they know, neither team did, you know, had no idea that it was going to be going that deep into a ball game and facing that kind of situation.
So this next series with the Angels, it's five games or seven games, Greg?
This is a best of five series coming
best
up.
Five
and,
series
the next game
up.
In Kansas City, regardless of what happens in the first two games in Anaheim, it will return here Sunday night.
And you think we can win this thing?
I'm not counting them out. Given what they have shown me so far, you just can't count this team out.
That's KCUR's Greg Eklund. Greg, thanks for the report. Thanks for joining us after not a whole lot of sleep last night. We appreciate
it. My pleasure, Steve.
Now joining us is commentator Victor Wishna. Victor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
And how are you feeling right now, Victor, about this team and about what you saw last night?
Just numb. Because that's the only emotion that's left. Leading up to this, as much anticipation as there was, it seemed wrong, you know, that the efforts of a full 162 game season could be vindicated or completely undone by what would happen in just one game. But that game was like a microcosm of the season. I mean, each inning was its own game, and either it was a comeback or a comeback that fell short. Or a disaster, or a missed opportunity, or a triumph at the end. So, you know, anxiety, exhilaration, disappointment, disgust, anger, resignation, shock, elation, the entire roster of reactions, if you will. You know, they all had to come into that game. The emotional bench was cleared. So, numb. That's all I got right now.
So
and it is
when it was 7-3
the world.
When it was 7-3, Victor, were you giving up hope too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to, you know, that's what I mean by resignation. Is it was like, okay, well, great. Now I can fully commit to the Chiefs, you know,
and so, get on with the rest of your life, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah. Look ahead to the Los Angeles Angels for us, if you would, Victor. How do you see this matchup shaking out? What's your sense?
Well, I mean, I'm like, as Greg was just saying, I mean, I'm optimistic. I mean, how can you not be? I mean, I think the Royals are now the favorites, and not the betting favorites per se, but I think they're the favorites of anyone without their own team to root for here.
Oh, I think, you know, that's right.
Yeah, we're like the small ball little team that could. But as for the Angels, actually, so one of my good friends from college, who grew up near Anaheim and is a lifelong Angels fan, he called me the second the game was over last night to say that he's actually very nervous. He thinks the Royals will run all over them, which is not to say that they will win easily, just that they will literally run on the Angels, steal bases, and maybe steal the victory like they did last night, I hope.
Well, that's an optimistic way to wrap up this conversation, Victor. That's a good note to go out on. And thanks for taking a minute with us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Well, I've just walked from our studio to KCUR's multi-purpose room here during our fall fun drive, and I'm joined now by Kathleen Conahan-Gross. She's KCUR's biggest Royals fan, and she helps pull together our fall fun drives for us. How happy are you today, Kathleen?
I am giddy. I'm about 10 feet tall.
Yeah, and how long have you been a fan?
Birth?
Oh, that sums it up pretty well. Ever since birth?
Pretty much, yep.
So that's not that many years, but a few years.
38 years.
38 years. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you acknowledge that, not me. Yeah. So how much yelling at your TV set did you do last night?
A lot of jumping up and down. Our cat and dog were very annoyed with us about 11:53 last night, but they're just going to have to live with it and for the next few weeks, hopefully.
Well, I took my trumpet outside on Belinda Court and played at midnight, just for the record, and let the neighbors know how happy I was. Did you ever lose hope when it was 7-3?
I never lost hope, but I did knowing I had to be back here for the membership drive, I was starting to get ready for bed, you know, just so I'd be ready to go to bed when it was over. But I kept just thinking, you know, we've come out of worse than this before. This team just has a way of making it happen, especially when, you know, Gerard Dyson and Terrence Gore get on the bases. So,
yeah,
I couldn't have asked for a better ending, though. That was amazing.
You know, over the last almost 30 years, did you give up hope that we'd ever get back there again? Was there a time when you thought, nah, this isn't going to work?
There's always a little hope, but it certainly was tested many, many times. So, but, you know, the thing with baseball is there's always a game the next day. There's always a new season the next spring. So it's eternal.